Well, good morning. It's so good to be with the Twinning people again. We have a small, short Bible reading. Let's just have a word of prayer, first of all. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of meeting in your presence this morning. We thank you for that promise that where two or three are gathered together in your midst, there you are. We thank you that you're with us this morning. We pray now as we look into the Word of God and contemplate things that you'll just minister to us by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll make Jesus real to each one of us. In his name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now, we have a Bible reading. It's the title of the message today is the Alpha and Omega. And we have a scripture here that I can read. It's in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. It says, behold, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In actual fact, you'll see that Alpha and Omega, it's only sort of mentioned in the book of Revelation. It's also mentioned in chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who was and is and is to come. And then in chapter 21, verse 5, it says, he who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Recently, I was in a prayer meeting in Cheltenham a few weeks ago, and it was one of those weeks of prayers, you know, week of praying together. And I attended one of these meetings on a morning. I think it was a Thursday morning or roughly that. And I remember sitting there, we'd each been given a list of things to pray for, big shopping list, you know. And, you know, I contemplated, what should I pray? What should I pray? And it was like, I was almost like a brick wall in my mind. Until these words came into my mind. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. This is something Jesus said. And it did liberate me in to be able to pray. We're going to look at this Alpha and Omega term in a minute. But in my praying, the thought in my mind was that you can apply this statement to your own life. There's a, you see, Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. The very first letter is like our letter A, Alpha. And Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So it's when Jesus said, I am the first and the last, I am the Alpha and Omega. And in my praying, I sought to thank God that we have sort of an Alpha and a start and a finish of things. God has an Alpha start and an Omega finish. And we'll come to that more in a moment. I once had a preacher at our church back in Birmingham. He was a dentist. He used to come to our church on a regular basis to preach to us. So I applied him the question one day. I said, listen, you're a dentist. Are there any sort of Bible verses that are applicable to a dentist? And quick as a flash, he said, yes. Psalm 81, verse 10. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Of course, when those words were penned by the psalmist, he wasn't talking about dentists in those days. They didn't have dentists, of course. He just had to suffer. But God is referring to the fact that he wants to fill us with his words. And he does, you know. You don't have to be a preacher for God to give you a word from Scripture. especially when we're in a time of turmoil maybe, and we find ourselves on our knees before God, God has a comforting word. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And that's our prayer today, isn't it? That God will fill us with his words. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Alpha and Omega. And of course, we've heard it mentioned already this morning. God had an Alpha day. You only have to look at the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, that was the Alpha day, wasn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was such an Alpha day, Alpha days if you like, because God made it all in 6 days, didn't he, and rested on the seventh. You know, in that statement when God said, when darkness covered the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. That was a start day, wasn't it? That was an Alpha day that God had then. And of course, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, that was a new thing for this world. God stepped into this earth scene, what we call the incarnation, when Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem. That was God stepping in into humanity. And when he grew up to the age of about 30, you know, God said in the beginning, let there be light. And it's made this statement about the preaching of Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. He stepped into the scene and he was a great light. This was God's Alpha day. But as I say, I want to apply this morning to ourselves. For you see, when we first, I'll use these terms, when we first got converted, or sometimes we use the word, when we got saved, or when we became a Christian, it all means the same thing, of course, isn't it? That was our own personal Alpha day. This was the beginning of something great. We would never be the same again. You know, becoming a Christian is an enormous thing. There is no greater thing that can happen to a person. You know, the day of our birth, our physical birth, was an Alpha day, wasn't it? When we popped into this world. The Bible said that God had knit us together in our mother's wombs. And you know, we were brought forth and there we were. That was our Alpha day. But there is a far more important day yet to come in every individual. We need this time when we become a Christian. When God steps into our life. And we're never the same again. It's an Alpha day. Jesus said, I am the Alpha. Our conversion, you may have just been in a meeting where you raised your hand to become, that's how it happened with me. They said, if you want to become a Christian, raise your hand tonight. We're all bowed in prayer and I raised it. And you know, God saw that hand. I didn't say a word, but it was a step. It was a step of faith. You may have just said and uttered a prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Just a very, very simple prayer. But I tell you, it was the greatest prayer that you've ever prayed and could ever pray. It was a great turning point in your life. It was your Alpha day. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ put it like this. He said, look, as I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That's an Alpha day. When Jesus Christ steps into your life. That's what happened when you became a Christian. It wasn't just picking up a new idea. It was a thing that would change your life completely. You would never be the same person again. We used to sing a song, things are different now. Things are different now when I gave my heart to Jesus. And he stepped into your life. That was your Alpha day. When you became a Christian on that Alpha day, you were stepping out of darkness into light. That's how the Bible puts it. We walked in spiritual darkness, but we stepped into the light. And you know, just as the Bible says in the beginning, God said, let there be light. So in that moment when you put your faith in Christ, God said, let there be light. And light came into there, and you saw things differently. You saw that scriptures meant something. You knew that your sins were forgiven. There's something else that happened on that day, that Alpha day of your own personal life. You were sanctified. You say, that's a long word, sanctification. Whatever does it mean? You were sanctified. Well, the Bible says you were sanctified, and I'll tell you what it means. It means separated. That's what sanctified means. You were separated. You were separated unto God. You belong to Him now. But there's something else. You see, before you became a Christian, you carried a record of sinfulness. Every man, you know, born and has lived upon the face of this earth has carried a record of sinfulness. The Bible says God makes a note of everything that we say. He knows what we've said. He knows what we've done wrong. And the Bible says we carry a burden of what the Bible calls sinfulness. We are sinners. But the word sanctification means to be separated. Now, what it means is this. When you became a Christian, that burden of sin that was laid upon you, that you carried, which could take you to hell, that burden of sin that you were carried was separated from you. Can you see the scene? You know, a lot of people are downcast because they reflect on their past. We've all got a past, haven't we? And we've all got skeletons in the cupboard, as they say. Things that we don't like to think about. Secret sins of the past. Listen, when you became a Christian, you were sanctified and you were separated from your sins. You say, how did that happen? It all happened at the cross. You know, that great dramatic event that sits in the centre of history. Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross. And at that very moment when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins were separated from you. You say, all my sins? Yes, all your sins. Even the sins that you've committed since you've become a Christian, because we still mess up, don't we, as Christians? We still mess up. Nevertheless, the Bible says it's all covered. It's all been separated from us. You see, we have a God that not only forgives us for our sins, but he takes them away. I think we've already sung, as far as is the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. It was a dramatic thing. You know, God has made us right in his sight. He has sanctified us. When you became a Christian, we're talking this morning of a dramatic event that happened to you personally this morning. This is what happened. If you're a Christian this morning, this is what happened. Now, this is what else happened. You received Jesus Christ. Do you know what it says? The Apostle John, writing to the early Christian church, said this in a very simple verse. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, he who has the Son has life. That's what it says. Jesus Christ has stepped into our lives and we have life. Not just ordinary life, human life, but we have eternal life. He who has the Son, that's Jesus, he's the Son of God. He who has the Son has life. Now, if we have Jesus, there's something else then. Not only do we have life, but we have righteousness. When God looks at us now, he sees Jesus Christ. And what does he see? He sees righteousness, and it's with a capital R. Why is it with a capital R? Because it is Christ himself. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has righteousness. That's our standing. That's what happened on our Alpha day. He gave us righteousness. There's something else that God gave us, you know, on that very moment when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. He gave us something that's so precious. It's called the very Word of God. The Word of God. You know, before you're a Christian, you don't really understand this book. It's probably as clear as mud to you, but you know, when you become a Christian, its pages begin to unfold to you, and you begin to realize that this is a gift from God. Indeed, it is. You know, it refers in the scripture that this book is the bread of life, and it's food for the hungry soul. You know, in that psalm that I read, in Psalm 81, verse 10, open your mouth wide, it says, and I will fill it. I will fill it. It's not talking about ordinary food, but it's talking about the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is what happened on your Alpha day. You received a gift from God. You received the Son of God. You received the very Word of God. This is something else. So this is, we mustn't miss this now, what I'm going to say. On that day, on that Alpha day, when we receive Jesus Christ, the Bible says we received the promised Holy Spirit. You received the promised Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, they don't do with documents these days. In the old days, they used to seal documents with a wax seal. When you used to take out a mortgage for a house, the documents to say the house belonged to you now was imprinted on a wax seal to prove that a transaction had taken place and the house is now yours. A seal. The Bible says we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It means several things. First of all, it means that we are now under new ownership. We belong to God. We've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It also means a transaction has taken place. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. We've been bought. And what was the price? It was the death of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for each one of us. That's what happened on our Alpha day. The Apostle Paul, writing into the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, said he has given the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And the Apostle Paul, you know, writing to the early Christian church in Romans and chapter 8, he says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how would he not along with him graciously give us all things? Now, we're talking today about your Alpha day. This is what happened to you. These are the things you received on that very day. It was a momentous day. It was an enormous day, an enormous fact. The Greek letter Alpha, it's the first letter in the Greek alphabet. It's the same as our letter A. And the thought I like now is this. Because we have had our own personal Alpha day or A day, it therefore means now that we are part of God's A team. Now, you've all watched A team over the years, possibly. Depends how old you are. The A team. Do you know the A team are invincible? We've been watching, they've been showing them on TV recently. They're invincible. They fire bullets at them and none of it finds its marks. It's a ridiculous program, but they are so invincible. They are the A-team. They always triumph. I like watching the A-team because they always win. You know, you've no problem with this. I didn't like watching the Titanic, but it sank, didn't it? That was the end of the matter. But watching the A-team, they don't sink, they win. Listen, you're a Christian. And you're on the winning team. You're on the A team. You might consider yourself this morning as being a very small crowd of people. And I suppose there are some much vaster churches of thousands gathering today throughout the country and throughout the world. And you say, we're just a few people. I tell you, I tell you, when you good people of Twinning gather together to pray, bear this in mind. Bear this in mind. You may not be numbered amongst the famous, but in the eyes of God, you are the A-team. You are the A-team. And that should encourage you to pray and to persevere and to carry on. Has the speaker gone? No, sorry. We're in the A-team because you've had an alpha day. You know, the Apostle Peter, writing to the early Christian church, said this. He says, once, he says, you were not a people. In fact, the Apostle Paul says we were worthless in the eyes of God. We were not a people, but now you are the people of God. We need to discover individually this morning the enormity of what happened when we became a Christian. That's, you know, we need to have a spiritual confidence that's grounded upon what happened when we became a Christian. So often we are so doubtful, we're so unsure, so defeated at times as Christians. And it's not right. It's not right. You know, something dramatic has really happened. You know, God wants us to live by faith. In that opening scripture where he says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God wants to fill us with his truth, his word. In that same psalm, it says this. Psalm 81:16, he said, God said, I would feed you with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. The finest of the wheat, he's not talking about literal wheat, he's talking about his truth, the finest of the wheat, like honey from the rock, finest. You all know that, you've all come across that word finest, haven't you? Tesco's use it. Tesco's finest. You know, if you buy their finest product, it's upmarket a bit. You pay a bit more for it. It's the finest. Listen, the word of God, the truth of God, what has happened to us when we had our Alpha Day, is the finest. And we need to feed on these truths. We need to feed on these truths. You know, we have such an amazing future. We've had our Alpha Day. And the Bible says God has made a note of our name. It was so important to God that day of our birth, our spiritual birth, that he's written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written there. Your name is important in heaven. How about that? You're not famous. I've not seen your names in the papers. You haven't had a speeding fine, have you, or anything like that? No, your names haven't been there. But you know, in heaven, you're not noted for your sins, for your sins have been covered and dealt with. In heaven, they know your name. Your name's important and valuable. God counts you as his A-team because of that day when you first trusted Jesus Christ. But listen, Omega Day is coming. Omega Day is coming. You know, Jesus is the Alpha. That was the start of things for us. But Omega Day is coming. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to take you back. I'm coming back to take you to where I am. There's going to be an Omega Day. You see, Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. It talks about a day when God's going to complete things. And we're going to go to heaven forever. You know, God has given us eternal life. There's going to be an Omega Day when we shall be ushered in to eternity. Now, Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. He's got in mind, he's looking down the corridors of time, and God has in mind a time. He's preparing a place for us. It therefore transpires, if God is preparing a place for us, he's also preparing us for this place. He's preparing us. You know, you've had a start, you've had your alpha day, but that's not the end of the matter. God has placed you in his finishing school. Now, I looked it up on the net, what a finishing school, it was for ladies. I don't think they have them anymore now. These cost thousands of pounds to go to these finishing schools. And in these finishing schools, I looked it up on the net. Now, ladies, please, I'm not going to have a go at you this morning, but you know. This is how it read in Wikipedia on the net. It said, in finishing school, you were taught how deportment, how to walk, and how to enter a room and glide in swan-like. And I guess the vision I have, they used to walk with a book balanced on the head and you had to walk and keep it there. You know? And the whole idea was to prepare you for a husband so you could get one. Finishing school. Listen, God has placed us in his finishing school and he's preparing us. And what's important in the finishing school for ladies is it's the way they walk. We're called to walk with God. What's important to God? Our walk, our deportment, our graciousness, you know, how we love one another. It's important to God. But of course, occasionally in these finishing school for the ladies, perhaps the book would fall off the head. But they wouldn't expel them, would they? Surely not. Not only that, because they paid so much money to go on this course, so they're not going to expel them. Listen, in God's finishing school, we may mess up a lot at times. We do. We may mess up. But God's not finished with us yet. He doesn't expel us. We're in his school. Walking. My mother, you know, I tell you this, my mother once told me off. I remember it, you know, where we lived and the parks and the commons we went on, you know, they were muddy in places. And I can remember coming back home and I'd no doubt my boots were pretty muddy. And I walked straight through the lounge. And my mum said to me, I was about 13 at the time, my mum said to me, she said, you know, when you get married and you've got your nice new carpets down, I'm going to walk through your house like you walk through mine with your muddy boots. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that illustration that he gave of he washed the disciples' feet? And he gave that as an illustration. Yes, there are times as a Christian we get muddy feet. But you know, our God, because he loves us, he washes them. You know, Jesus washed their feet and dried them with a towel. It's a thing that a servant would only do normally. But Jesus Christ serves us. His name, you know, he served the human race and he serves us personally and he washes us clean. For you know, we do fail and we do get muddy boots as Christians. Often, don't we? We foul up. But don't lose heart. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's preparing us in his finishing school. And when we get there, it's all going to be okay. You know, there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. On this Omega day, we're on the Omega day now. We've had our Alpha day, we've got saved, we've been through our finishing school. There's going to be this Omega day. And there's going to be a wedding. And the bride will have made herself ready. Listen to what it says in the book of Revelation about that Omega day. Revelation 19 verse 7. It says, the wedding of the Lamb is come. The bride has made herself ready. That's what it's all about. We're en route. We're en route. We've had our Alpha day. And we know our trials in the meantime. but there's going to be an Omega day. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Apply it to yourself this morning. You've had an Alpha day. And certainly you may have lots of worries and concerns about the future, but God says there's going to be an Omega day. What a day it will be. You know, it's going to be the greatest day of reconciliation that you've ever known. I remember my father when he was in the war, my father was, and I didn't see him till I think I was aged about 3 or 4, something like that. And I can see him now returning. He'd been a prisoner of war in Germany. And we all went and sat, you know, the war was over and he was on his way back, and we all sat on the bench next to the bus stop. And I can see him come walking up the street. In the street where I lived, people had put flags in their windows for this prisoner of war. My dad was coming home. And what a reconciliation, what a meeting. And my mother, myself and grandmother, we sat on this bench waiting, and here he comes with his kit bag on his shoulder. And we, you know, what a meeting that was. Listen, on the Omega day that God has promised for us, there's going to be a reconciliation. What a meeting that will be. The Bible says that Jesus is going to meet us in the air. We're going to be airlifted out and we're going to meet him. Of course, we must make sure this morning, first and foremost, that we have had an Alpha day, that we are right with God. For you won't get an Omega day unless you've had the Alpha day first. Our lives must be right with God to prepare us for that great and glorious day. Praise his name. So if you get discouraged, remember, Omega day is coming. Omega day. And that Omega day is, it's Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Let's sing together, shall we? I'm not sure exactly what we're singing, but it's going to come up on the board.